May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So I don't know whether you're like me, but I kind of go around with this constant internal dialogue going on in my head. I'm constantly having conversations with myself all the time. And I hope I'm not the only one who is like this. And if I am, don't worry, the bishop is coming to visit next month and you can have a word with him about this. Because I was thinking about this as we heard our epistle reading today about the power of the tongue, or in other words, the power of our speech. And this question of the power of our speech, I think, is something very much on our minds in this moment of history, when we're very conscious about the deep concern about the coarsening of our national life through a constant stream of unbridled tongues. And it's not just the words that come out of our mouth, but in this age of social media and email and other such things, it's the words that come out of our pens. You know, how many of us sitting here have written emails in haste in response, only to wake up the next morning thinking, oh God, I wish I'd just waited before sending that email. But it's not just the words that come out of our mouth that we need to pay attention to. Perhaps before we even look at the words that are coming out of our mouth, we need to pay attention to the internal conversations that are going on in our heads. And that may be the first starting point, because the words that come out of our mouth are often a product of the conversations we're having with ourselves. Like a lot of Episcopal clergy, I regularly meet with a spiritual director. Once a month I go to visit this spiritual director, the Bethany House of Prayer. He's a retired clergyman, and I think of him as a wise old owl with lots of experience, a man who I can really talk to and who can reflect back on his, you know, many, many years of experience as a clergyman. And you know, and I usually come and talk to him about the spiritual challenges that I've been facing, you know, during the previous month. And often those challenges, I talk to him about them in terms of this kind of internal conversation that I'm having over, let's say, a difficulty I'm having with an individual, or perhaps it might be the difficulty I'm having with an issue, when within this internal dialogue I'm having in my head, I find myself on the opposite side of the conversation from where I think Jesus would be. I think that he would be on the other side in this internal dialogue that I'm having. And so I go to him and speak to my spiritual director about these challenges. And the thing that he often says to me is, so what do you need to die to in order to be on the same side as Jesus in this internal debate you're having in your head over this person or over this issue? What do you need to die to? What element of selfishness or greed or self-concern or ambition do you need to die to, so that you can find yourself on the same side as Jesus in this challenge that you're having? Because this question, I think, is the point that links the epistle we have from James about the power of the tongue with our gospel reading, in which we hear Jesus saying that we need to take up our cross and lose our lives. The words we hear are Jesus saying, if anyone wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. You know, when Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago, there was a literal component to what he was saying. But there were Christians who would literally lose their lives, who would literally be raised on the cross like he himself was. And we know that even in our own age, Christian people have died for their faith. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King died for his faith so that the vision of Jesus of a place of a world where we all love our neighbors as ourselves might become true in our own nation. But physical martyrdom was only one element of what Jesus was speaking about when he was talking about us losing our lives in order to be his followers. In most of his ministry, Jesus was concerned with us dying to selfishness and greed and lust, all those things that lurk in our hearts that result in evil and injustice, which can do such catastrophic harm in our individual, our national, and even in our international life. We heard Jesus say a few weeks ago in the gospel, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This is what defiles. Out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. And so going back to my spiritual director, earlier this year he recommended a book to me called on spirituality called Sacred Fire by a chap called Ronald Rollhauser. I mean, I never heard of this guy, and at first I kind of felt a bit reluctant to read it, but he was so keen on the book. I thought, out of respect to him, I will read this book. And I found it was one of the best books on spirituality that I've read in years. And it made me want to read his earlier book, which is called Holy Longing, which is a kind of introductory book to spirituality that I couldn't recommend highly enough. In the book Sacred Fire, Rollhauser makes what I think is a really profound point about the nature of the spiritual life. We talk about spirituality, the spiritual life, spiritual journeys. These are words that get bandied about, and often I think we're very unhazy about what these words mean. They're very nebulous terms, and there's often a lack of clarity about what they mean. I mean, I think most of us think that, well, it's something about moving closer to God, and I think that that's right. But what Rollhauser says is the spirituality and the spiritual life is about dying to selfishness. The spiritual life is about dying to selfishness. And I read those words, and it was like a light switch going on as I reflected on my own spiritual life. Because what I became aware of as I reflected on those words is that my journey, spiritual journey of becoming closer to God, has been all about dying to selfishness, to the prejudices that I carry in my heart, both things that are perhaps part of my character, but things that I've been taught, like snobbery and class distinction, views on race, other on nationalism, all sorts of things that can become so perverted. And what I recognize is that the way that I've got closer to God is by dying to these prejudices. And they haven't led to a diminution of who I am, but a deep sense of liberation, a deep sense of freedom as the burdens of prejudice and selfishness have been cast aside. And I know that I have so much further to go, but the journey is about dying to these things so that one can become so much more open to Christ. As Rollhauser puts it, it's about transforming anger and bitterness and hatred we so often feel into love. And this, he says, is the litmus test of Christianity. Transforming, not just dying to these things, but transforming them into love. And he told a story that in his book that I think really spoke to me, and it's about a story about a university professor who once upon a time was a bright young thing, and he arrived at his faculty, and he was a young man of great promise, and a man who everyone spoke highly of and had great hopes for, and indeed this young man turned into an older man, and to a middle-aged man, and to a mature man, and indeed in many ways he lived up to his promise. But then, a new member of the faculty arrived, a younger man, full of promise, full of hope, who everyone spoke of so highly and saying, this man has a great future in front of him. He is brilliant, and he's someone we want to keep our eye on. And the older man felt this conversation going on in his heart as he felt a sense of jealousy towards this young man. And the conversation in his head was all about, I'm going to show this guy. I'm going to put him down. I'm going to show him who's boss around here. But as he reflected on the nature of this conversation going on in his head, he realized that this was the road to prison, to spiritual prison. And so when it came to it, instead of putting this man down, this young man down, the words that came out of his mouth were, we are so blessed to have you as a member of our faculty. You are going to do so much for us. We're so lucky to have you here. He died to his selfishness and turned it into a blessing. And we're sent out into the world to turn the selfishness that lurks in our hearts, to turn it on its head and turn it into a form of blessedness. Amen.